All right, let's open our Bibles now to Hebrews 11, and we'll pick up where we left off last time. Hebrews chapter 11 tonight, and we'll begin with verse 13, where we left off last time, and go down through verse 16 tonight. Hebrews 11 and verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And so, if you'll keep your Bible open, please, to this passage, we'll look at these verses tonight. I'll speak to you for a bit on the subject, dying in faith. Father, we come now and approach the Word of God again to try to preach and teach it, and we desire that the Holy Spirit might enable us and help us to speak clearly and to explain clearly what these verses are talking about, and help tonight for me to say something that might be a help and a blessing to somebody. In Jesus' name, amen. The passage that we are considering tonight, which we read just a moment ago, is a part of the passage that shows the faith of the patriarchs, that is, those people who lived between the flood and the time of Moses. Now, those mentioned as being great in faith during this particular period are, number one, Abraham, verses 8 through 10 and verses 17 through 19. Number two, Abraham's wife Sarah, verses 11 and 12. Number three, Abraham's son Isaac, verse 9 and verse 20. Number four, Isaac's son Jacob, verse 9 and verse 21. And number five, Jacob's son Joseph, verse 22. All of these people lived in that patriarchal age between the time of Noah's flood and the time of Moses, and these people displayed great faith in God. As we come to our passage tonight, actually Joseph has not been mentioned as yet, but the other patriarchs have, so this passage refers primarily to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, along with Abraham's wife Sarah. Now, I point this out because some who people who like to try to find fault with the Bible have said that there is a contradiction between verse 5 and verse 13. Now, verse 5 tells us that Enoch did not die. Then verse 13 states these all died in faith. However, verse 13 mentions that the ones who died in faith that he's speaking of here are those who had been given promises and had not yet fully received those promises. There's nothing in the verses pertaining to the pre-flood saints, Abel, Enoch, and Noah, about them being given promises that they had not received at death. But verse 9 tells us that Abraham dwelt in the land of promise, that Isaac and Jacob were heirs with him of the same promise. And verse 11 mentions that Sarah judged him faithful who had promised. Thus, verse 13 tells us about these dying in faith, not yet receiving the promises. So obviously, he's talking about those he had just mentioned as having been given promises, that is, the patriarchs. And so there's no contradiction here or anywhere else in the Bible. But now let's notice these verses, and so I call your attention, first of all, to dying in faith, which is mentioned in verse 13. Verse 13 says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So the first thing that's pointed out in this passage or this section of verses that we read tonight concerning Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah is that they died in faith. They died still believing the promises that God had made to them. But it points that out, but it also points out that they had not received the promises made while they were still alive in this life. Thus, these promises still have to be fulfilled, and these patriarchs died believing that they would be fulfilled. Now, what promises is he referring to? He's referring to the promises contained in what they call the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant, and you find it several times in the early chapters of Genesis, starting in Genesis 12, the first three verses, and then it's elaborated on again and again in the book of Genesis. The Abrahamic covenant involved basically three things. Number one, a land or a country. Number two, a seed. And number three, blessings. Now, according to the rest of this passage that we read tonight, the part of the promises that the patriarchs were especially intrigued by was the promise of a country. According to verse 16, they understood that this country involved the spiritual. It was a heavenly country. Now, it's important, especially to those of us who are premillennialists, to understand that these patriarchs didn't receive this country while they were alive in this life. Thus, the promise to them of this country still has to be fulfilled, and it will be fulfilled during the millennium. And so then, they died in faith, still believing that the promises that God had made to them would be fulfilled, though they hadn't been fulfilled as yet when they died. Now, let me make a statement here based on what we're told in this passage. And the statement is this: faith makes death much easier to endure. Faith gives the Christian the ability to die victoriously. I've often read the experiences of dying people, and it has been amazing to me to contrast the deaths of Christians who were faithful to God with the deaths of unbelievers who did not exercise faith in God. I have a little book in my library called Voices from the Edge of Eternity, which gives just the stories of the deaths of various people, some of them famous, some of them not, some of them saved, others not. But it was amazing to see the contrast between the deaths, for example, of the French infidel of about 250 years ago, known as Voltaire, and the death of Dwight L. Moody, who lived a little over 100 years ago. Voltaire had prided himself. He was a writer and an actor and a lot of other things, a philosopher. But he was famous for his disbelief in the Word of God. In fact, he made the statement that by the time he had been dead for 50 years, that there wouldn't be a Bible on the face of the earth except as a relic in some museum somewhere. And yet here we are 250 years later, and probably the majority of people in here have never heard of Voltaire, but he died a horrible death, screaming that he was going to hell, offering the doctor all the wealth that he had if he could give him just 6 more months to live. And the doctor said, "Sir, I can't even give you 6 more hours to live." And he died a horrible death. On the other hand, when Dwight L. Moody died, those who attended his bedside told of how that He would evidently be able to see beyond the veil, and he'd call the names of different children of his who had died. And he died a victorious death, praising the Lord. Now, what was the difference? Well, the difference is Dwight L. Moody died in faith. Voltaire died without faith. Now, the patriarchs, we're told here, died in faith, still believing that God's promises to them would be fulfilled. Now, the verse shows a four-step process in their faith. First of all, they saw the promises afar off. In other words, they had the attitude and the faith to say, if I follow the Lord, one day this is what will happen, and they saw afar off what would take place. Number two, they were persuaded of the promises. They fully believed that the promises God made were true. Number three, they embraced those promises. They drew the promises to themselves. They made those promises their own. They understood not just that the promise of God is true, but that the promise of God is good for me. And then number four, this led them to confess that this world was not their home. They were simply strangers and pilgrims. Now, notice the progression. They took God's promises to themselves. This led to their lives being affected. They lived with the understanding that they were strangers and pilgrims in this life. And because of this, when they died in faith. They died victoriously. Now, this same progression will be true in our lives if we operate on the same principles that they did. For you see, God has given us some promises in His Word. He's given us the promise of heaven if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. He's given us the promise of the coming rapture, the blessed hope, when the Lord Jesus will return in the clouds and take us away from here. He's given us a promise of a resurrection body, a new body when we go up to be with Him. And this progression that was true in the lives of the patriarchs, the same progression will be true in our lives if we operate on the principle of faith by which they operated. The first step is to believe these promises and realize that they apply to us if we're saved. Now, if you're not saved, they don't apply to you. But if you're saved, they apply to people who are saved. Let me show you one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It's in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. And it says, "For all the promises of God in Him," in Jesus, "are yea, and in Him amen, unto the glory of God by us." What does it mean? It means that every one of God's promises are true and will be fulfilled if they haven't already been fulfilled. So, that's the first step, to believe these promises and realize that they apply to us if we're saved. And then secondly, if we take God's promises to ourselves, if we really hold to them as a living, vital part of our lives, they will impact the way we live our lives. We'll understand that we're simply pilgrims here in this world, and we can't get too attached to things down here. Now, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 actually tells us that this is what our position is in this life. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, Peter says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." Because we're strangers and pilgrims, we're just here on this earth for a little while, passing through here on our way to a better country. And because we are strangers and pilgrims, we shouldn't become bogged down with the sins of this world. You know, many Christians, when they go to heaven, are not going to have anything because they've lived as though this world was their permanent home. They put everything they had into the things of this world. They found all their pleasure in the things of this world. Now, the person who follows the first two steps will find that the third one takes care of itself and comes naturally. When death comes, we'll die in faith, peacefully and contentedly going to sleep with the anticipation and expectation of God's promises being fulfilled to us in the next life. It was A.J. Gordon who, when he died, his last words were victory, victory, victory. You know why? Because he died in faith, like these patriarchs that we read about. I call your attention, secondly, to the declaration of faith in verses 14 and 15. Notice verse 14 first. It says, hang on, I'm in the book of Revelation. I don't know how I got over there. Verse 14 says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Those who confess their faith in the promises of God and who confess by their mouth and their lifestyle that this world is not where they belong are saying to others by their testimony that they're looking for another country. Our life and our influence says something to the people around us. It says that we're at home in this world, or it says that we're looking forward to heaven. If by your faith, your habits, your standards, your behavior, the way you live, the way you dress, the way you wear your hair and so forth, if you follow the world styles and standards and so forth, you're saying to the world, I feel perfectly content right here where I am. If, on the other hand, your lifestyle and conversation and so forth is superior to the world standard and you have a good Christian testimony, then you're declaring by your lifestyle that you're a citizen of another country, and that other country is heaven. Now, what do people see when they look at you? Do they see somebody who's not at home in this world and thus is looking forward to the next? Or do they see somebody who's perfectly happy right here in this world? Then notice verse 15. The scripture says, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. He's giving us a warning in this verse. He's telling us if Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had thought back, if they had been mindful, if they'd thought back, if they had set their minds on things of this world, they could have gone back to Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham had been a rich man and enjoyed the pleasures of this world, but they weren't interested in that. They put their hand to the plow and didn't look back. You know, there are too many Christians that spend their time looking back. It was Lot's wife that Jesus warned us about his one warning about looking back. He told us to remember Lot's wife. She was turned to a pillar of salt as an eternal reminder of Christians who look back. Don't look back to the sins of the world that you were involved in before you got saved. Don't look back to the pleasures of the world that you were involved in before you got saved. There are two things that you need to remember about looking back to the old life. Number one, the devil will always only bring to mind the good times that you have or that you had. You know, he'll remind you of how great it was and how much fun you had and all of that. You better remember the other side of it as well. But the devil, he'll always only bring to mind the good times that you had in sin. And then the second thing, if you constantly look back to the pleasures of sin, chances are you'll eventually go back And so Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Sarah declared that they weren't interested in a country here on earth, but that brings me to the third thing in verse 16, and that is the desirability of faith. Verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. Those who don't look back but live a life of faith and faithfulness show that they look forward to going to heaven. And because of this, God will one day give them this city, and even now, he's not ashamed to be called their God. You know, I've known Christians who were ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth is, it ought to be the other way around. The Lord ought to be ashamed of us, I'm afraid, most of the time. But those who live a life of faith, God's not ashamed to be called their God, and one day he'll take them, or I should say take us, to the city he has prepared for us, where Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Sarah, who died in faith, are even now. And so, the desirability of faith, the Lord is only pleased if we have faith. That's what verse 6 said. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. I like to read about the Civil War. And maybe the greatest tactical general of that war may have been Stonewall Jackson. I didn't say he was. I said he might have been. Great tactical general, and also a great Christian, one of the godliest men of his day. And when he was wounded at Chancellorsville, inadvertently wounded by friendly fire of his own men, and he lived for some days, maybe a week or two after that, and died of what most people died of in the Civil War who got wounded, and that is of infection. And but as he was approaching the hour of his death, at that time, doctors could just about, they were so familiar with it, that they could just about predict within just a few minutes when a person was going to die. And so Stonewall Jackson was approaching the time of his death, and the last thing that he said, as evidently his mind traveled back to battles that he had fought and places he had been and so forth, he, with an otherworldly look on his face, said, "Let us cross over the river and rest beneath the trees." He died in faith. How will we die? Will it be in faith, or will it be with fear and trembling and doubt in our hearts? Hopefully, we can die in faith, as these patriarchs did, of whom we took a look tonight. Father, we pray now that you'll